for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture as PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in that game's making by. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials. Facebook, Instagram, Discord, X. Said that way out of whack. All of those links can be found in the description below, though.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts, other sort of shit with our logos on it. Max, I'm fucked. I am fucking dead. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, actually.
Oh, wow.
I was dead at the start of the week.
Yeah.
Perked up by the weekend.
Oh, well, that's good to know. So, like, I'm very much in the different space. So, like, I'm sure I've talked about it on here before, but my son, for, I don't know, last couple of years, easy, we watch a lot of those, like, found footage ghost videos, right? And they were never really something that bothered him. But we were watching one yesterday, and it had, like, some rippers in it. Like, normally you're like, well, that's fake as shit. Oh, that's a really cool edit. Like, oh, there's just enough for that to be cool. There were two that were just dead set fucking horrifying. I'm like, damn. And then he saw them and he was like, damn. I'm like, oh no. So we had, there was a bit of the dodging of the explanation of what he saw and blah, blah, blah. But he did have a bit of a rough night because of it. Wake up a couple of times, being a little bit scared. So my sleep pattern got disrupted. So I'm a little bit rooted. But it was fun. It was a good way to sort of talk to him and try to, like, help him, you know, get through the scaredness. Sort of, you know, letting him know that, like, dude, like, you know that. Because he's like, whenever I see, when I don't close my eyes, all I see a ghost. I'm like, well, that's your imagination, dude. Do you know, you know that you control your imagination, right? So we just played a bunch of little games and thought experiments that were like, well, let's game and tweak it and, like, you know, replace it with something. Because he's very similar to myself in a lot of ways. If I'm upset or disrupted, you just help me push through it and, like, divert me, but, like not in a replacement way, but like, hey, look over here. But, you know, and we can get it done. So that did kind of work. We got him in, and then we were able to go back to sleep, and he slept through the rest of the night, which is fantastic. But that didn't change the handful of, you know, disruptions that I had. So I'm a little bit brain foggy and dumb, and, like, more than usual. And to ensure that I get to sleep tonight, I did not have my Ritalin. So you're not going to get that chaos energy. So it's probably going to be a little near. But I'll do my best to push through.
Look, for spoilers for the upcoming show, it's going to be short and sweet this week. Like, there's really not much to... So, not having Ritalin and...
Being naked?
Not having to stay, like, too on task here.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
I'm glad you didn't bury the lead, you know, like, near 4 minutes in. You're just like, you know what? This show's probably going to be a bit average. Thanks for your time, everyone.
Yeah, look, it's a quiet one this week. Like, it really is. It is, as you titled the show, it is a fucking slump post Summer Games Fest. I'm like, I mean, we got some good news this week.
We did.
We're PAX boys again.
We are. That's absolutely true. I totally forgot about that. But yes, that is true. Both Max and I will be attending PAX Australia once again as media. This is my 9th year as going to PAX. I've gone every year since 2015. So obviously there were those online years. However, I still was engaged in panels and projects, like working with, I did a video games mental health panel. We did PAX Radio with Audio Technica. So like, you know, we never really, at least for me myself, I never really stepped away. So it's been 9 years consistently. And I was very happy to be returning again this year. But Max, I love your accidental segue because this is the fun part. So you may, if you follow me on social medias, you may have seen that I have been promoting this panel idea that I have. So this, the idea came a couple years ago and I pitched it as a panel then, but I didn't sell it right. I wasn't really confident with it. It didn't kind of come to fruition. And obviously then COVID happened, so change of plans, panels weren't really a thing. And then last year I didn't bother because I thought the idea wasn't going to work after a previous attempt. However, at a random 2K hangout when I was in Perth for Elimination Chamber for WWE, I was having a chat with someone I would now call friend, that is Doom Cutie. You may have seen her on social media. She runs the Geek Gamer Girl podcast. She's great. She's fantastic. So she's a big Xbox fan. She's an ambassador. She's decked out. Her set looks like this, but Xbox, for those watching the video. So we were chatting. I said, because she walked up and she saw my tattoo. And she's like, you know, we probably can't talk. I'm like, that's true. You are an Xbox person. Because obviously I knew who she was. And then I was like, well, funny you mentioned, I got this idea. And the idea that I have was a panel very similar to that of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Great Debate, but for games. So the idea being the console clash. It's console wars. It's PlayStation versus Xbox, which is standard, right? Everyone's done that. We've been on the internet for how long, Max? How long have you been seeing people fight about this?
Since the dawn of time.
Yeah, it's like 24 years minimum of just PlayStation versus Xbox.
Still relevant.
Yeah, but then you go back to, like the 80s and the 90s, and it's Nintendo versus Sega, and I'm sure back then it was like, The Rock versus the other Rock.
Sega solved that problem
by fucking off. Yeah,
Nintendo solved that problem by basically buying Sega.
Yeah, and look, it's not far off in the same way that Microsoft and PlayStation in a similar space. So that's fun and exciting, but I have added some fun to it. So. So the idea would be that we would get some of the best PlayStation creators in the country, the best Xbox creators or media or whomever for Xbox, bring them together and have them face it off. But the big twist being to demonstrate the console wars are fucking stupid, have them flip teams.
Freaky Friday,
that stuff, right? One will be Jamie Lee Curtis. One team can be Lindsay Lohan. I'll let you pick one, which one they want to be. That's up to them. Because I don't know who's looking worse for wear these days. But yeah, so that's the idea. I mentioned this to Doom and she was like, that's fun. I like that. I'm like, oh shit, no way. And then I didn't hear from her for like a month or whatever. She said, oh, we'll reach out. We saw something. I'm like, yeah, no worries. Didn't hear anything. A month after, she goes, been pondering on that idea. Bam. And then that's when the conversation started. We started just getting the ball rolling. And it's all coming together. Like, her team is set. She has, I guess Team PlayStation for her. They're all Xbox creators. I am 2 out of 3 of my team. So we can lock down that. I'm just trying to find the third. I want the third to be someone that complements the other two individuals that I have. And offering sort of a different perspective. But it should be interesting because one of them, is like one of the greatest PlayStation brains in the country, where the other is a certified Xbox hater, and they're more than keen to turn it around and try to defend them. And that's, well, they're not at all, and that's what makes it fun. So that's the plan. It'll be hosted by myself and Doom. If it all gets approved and selected, then we'll send more details out of dates and times when it comes around. But Max, you were like, what the fuck are an eye on it? I'm like, well, I can't put all my friends on it.
Can I just sit on stage with my Switch and be like, I win?
No, that's the PC crowd. They're like, well, I win because PC. Like, well, technically, yes, but we're not fighting about that. But what the idea, and hopefully if this goes well, is because the great debate as a principle, we can move it. So next year, we can get Nintendo versus Sega, or we can get handhelds versus mobile. Like, we can expand a number of different ways. And we can, you know, expand into the larger pop culture, you know, depending on how we go. Like, it's a funny enough idea that we can go Star Wars versus Star Trek. That would be funny. That would be awesome. And but like, because I fucking love Star Wars, but I kind of hate Star Trek. So if you were to get me on that panel, you wouldn't, because I'd be hosting it, presumably. I'd be like, oh, it'd be really hard for me to care about Star Trek. So I think it's going to be a fun little idea. So if you are around, if you're interested, go check out my socials at HagenMC. It's right there on Twitter. It's on Instagram. That's kind of all we use, because Facebook, yeah, it's the thing. And jump in, comments, let me know, share it around. If you know any creators that you think would be fantastic for it that aren't myself or Max, be sure to let me know, because I think I've got two locked in at the moment, but I did tell them, I'm like, look, we're going to see how we go. Don't know who the third's going to be. Want to make it something fun. And that's the plan. And Max, I know, are you confident enough to get on a stage in front of people?
I mean, as long as I can keep my clothes on, sure.
Well, it's not really part of the request, but
yeah, I've done stage work before. I'll be fine.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And like, we've kind of instructed them.
If someone breaks a leg on the day, I'll happily step in.
Well, that's good. It's good to have an understudy. You know, than senpai says you boys will crush it on stage. Thank you.
I think the better question is, Max, are you going to be around all weekend this time?
Yeah, because it does always fall around your like wedding anniversary.
I think this year it falls around someone else's wedding anniversary. My wedding anniversary is at the end of the month. Someone we know has a wedding anniversary at the start of the month. I'm actually pretty sure it was his wedding anniversary when we were there last year.
It's Patch. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like, it was me. Mine was in March.
I didn't want to say his name because I thought you were being deliberately vague by not saying who was on your...
Oh, no, Paul's absolutely on the panel. Are you fucking kidding me? That's why I said I can't have all my friends. So, like...
He was on your team. I'm like, oh, is it? Are we keeping the names hush hush?
Well, no, like, it's the other ones I will keep on the hush for funsies. But, like, yeah, Padge is the other one. The other person knows. I reached out to them and it should be cool. But... yeah, the third is where I'm looking for to have some fun. So, we'll mute in the chat because I like the idea. And that's the idea. Like it was super silly, and because they in the spirit of like camaraderie and community, which is what PAX is all about. Hence, like the spin of it's kind of fun because you know you like if anyone gets too mean and they get culled, you know it's like there's a line. Like, you can't be like, you know, fuck Phil Spencer. He's a, you know, pedophile. Like, whoa, that's not neither true, substantiated, or appropriate. So,
yeah. We're not talking about Gearbox Software.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Randy Pitchford, thankfully, is not involved in either of them in a more dedicated space. But, you know, it does bring to question why he had a USB drive full of squirt porn that he's left at a fucking restaurant. That's so insane. So insane. But, yeah, should be a bunch of fun. Keen as shit to do it. But the other thing, Max, is
the LSD is kicking in early this week.
What is
the LSD?
Oh, is it going weird again? Very nice. It's so very bizarre nice. That it is.
As soon as you put your hand up, my whole screen turns.
Oh, so I think it must be a white balance thing, right? Yeah. So as I was saying, I lost my train of thought. Yeah. So you and I, we got to hang out today. For the first time in like ages, and we did some dumb shit. Do we bury the lead and have some fun with it, or we just kind of explain like that we hung out and did some shit, silliness?
Should we wait for the response first and then bring it up?
Yeah, well, sorry. The idea is like we wanted to shoot some stuff today because we have this plan, and it's kind of going to be this challenge between Max and I, is the way I want to see it.
It'll be an ongoing documentary.
Yeah, and essentially it'll be like Max and I are going to set ourselves a challenge, whether it be a month or, you know, 30 days or 90 days. Max and
is finally going to play that backlog.
Yeah, he's going to finally finish Horizon Forbidden West or Assassin's Creed Valhalla. No. So yeah, we have a plan. I think about 90 days. We shot some stuff today with the green screen in my lounge room. It was fun as hell. Our kids had a blast. They got to be silly. If you go to my socials, I posted a picture of it today. you don't know any more than that. You're not going to guess any more than that.
You can infer from...
Yeah, I'd like to see what you guess from my socials. That'd be fun. But yeah, and it's a little challenge for you and I. And part of the reason I love this, Max, and this is going to sound like a brag, and it absolutely isn't. I'm very lucky in that I surround myself in the things that I am naturally good at. Like, I'm naturally good at sitting in front of a camera and talking to people. I'm naturally good at knowing about games. I'm naturally good about reviewing games. Now, granted, I've worked on these things over time and I've gotten better. You know, same as commentary, a wrestling commentary, and now ring announcing. Like, they can all be improved on, but the base of it, I naturally have that ability. So it's just easy for me to step into it, you know, and just kind of keep going. Where this is going to be one of the first things that I will genuinely have to push myself through to be like, you got to do it. Because, you know, a big part of ADHD and myself is that, like, I'm either fucking really good at something or it's unbearably painful for me to try to do. So that's why this is going to be fun for me. Because I want to see it through. I want to see how I go. And having us come in here and check in and go, this is what we're doing, will make it a little bit extra fun. Because your idea behind this is not just for the fun of the challenge, but also connecting with your dad.
A little bit, yeah.
So how do you feel? Like, once again, in the alluding to no idea what this is, just to kind of add the intrigue, how are you feeling going to this potential challenge?
Look, I hope it works out for the best, but I am in the same boat as you. As it's one of those things where I have, at the moment, very limited downtime where it's just me and the ability to do something like this. but I'm hoping something comes out of it, even if it's just a basic knowledge that I can then have, you know, one more thing on the list of things that I can, you know,
yeah. Exactly.
And kind of be like, you know, to take an interest in something that he's done for almost his entire life. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I think it'd be kind of fun to, like, maybe at a party down the line or part of a conversation, like, one little fun fact, like, oh, I learned how to do this because of this, you know, it's like, oh, that's a weird way to do it. I'm like, yeah, it is, but it worked. Or I tried and I didn't do it at all. But I think it could be a good bit of fun. We're not playing that yet. Spoilers. It's games related. Shock. What a twist. Max, what have you been playing this week?
So I'll start with Destiny. I'm still playing Destiny. Destiny has taken over my life since the final shape has dropped. This week we saw the start of Episode 1 Echoes. So along with a new... what they used to refer to as a seasonal activity, they're now, like, I guess, episodal activities. I dove into that. But the big thing that I've been focusing on this week in Destiny is their new exotic mission, Dual Destiny. It is the first mission that can only be played in a two-man fire team. Can't be done solo, can't be done three-man. Have to play it two-man. There was a lot of anger online from all the solo players going, no, I have to make a friend to play the game. Rah, rah, rah. Big old whinge. This exotic mission is the single greatest mission that Bungie have ever created in the 10 years of Destiny. This thing is fucking great. It's on a timer. So essentially, to boot up into this mission, you have to have one person running a light class and one person running a darkness class. And it's that whole duality of working together and having the opposites come together as one to get through this. It's essentially a big old puzzle fest with a sprinkling of kill rooms in between and some traversal. So you do a puzzle, you do a kill room. Sometimes the kill rooms are and the puzzles are conjoined, and you got to kill stuff while you're trying to work out the puzzle. Then you'll have a traversal room where you go from one puzzle to the next, and so on and so forth. So the first puzzle is fairly simple. One player essentially gets, once you kill a mini boss, you'll get a mote of light or mote of dark, depending on which subclass you are playing at the time. And you'll get some symbols shown on top of pedestals. There's 16 symbols in total. You have to talk to your teammate because they can't see those symbols on the pedestals, and you have to be like, I have this symbol and this symbol, and they have to look around the room and shoot the corresponding symbols. Oh, it
just suddenly become keep talking, nobody explodes, but Destiny Edition.
So round one, it's two symbols, then three symbols, then four symbols, yeah. And it alternates between who can see them and who has to shoot them. So you go back and forth. The next big puzzle is essentially a clock face. So there's 12 nuts, essentially, with lights beaming from the center to each individual number, and you have to work out which ones are connected. So for me, I might have number 1 connected 3, 5, and 9, but my teammate might have 12, 4, 5, 8, and 9. So you have to shoot the ones that both players have connected and progress to the next one.
So this is interesting. So like my sister, as an example, for the fucking life of her, cannot read an analog clock. We've done everything within our power to teach her. She's like, I have fucking no idea. So like, she's got some sort of clock blindness. She's like, what's that? Like, I don't know. So like, if she was to play Destiny, one, that would be insane. And two, and then she gets this, she's like, ooh. Like that has my, it's caught my attention. She's like, how do I do this?
And obviously the big pressure is the mission itself is on a timer. And if you run out of time, it boots you back to orbit. You lose all progress, have to start all over again fresh.
Yeah.
But it's, I haven't finished the mission yet. Mm-hmm. Every time we've played it, we've gotten to the very end boss and we've run out of time. We're not doing it fast enough.
Have you worked out where the gaps in your run are from a time wastage perspective?
Yeah, I blame my teammate.
Well, yeah.
Not being able to kill these ads fast enough. Because when you die, you drop all the motes of light or motes of darkness that you've received. Yeah. Therefore, all the abilities to either shoot the symbols or read the symbols disappears. And then you have to wait to get all four back. So you have to kill 4 more mini bosses. And then it's just a time wasting thing. Now, obviously, it has a recommended power level of, I think, 1995, so 5 below the cap. I'm currently 1992, but at the time, the person I was doing it with was like 1960, so he was squishy as fuck.
Well, the 90s were better than the 60s, that is objectively true.
So that's what I've been doing this week in Destiny, is kind of just grinding that out, trying to get that done. But the other game that I've
before
been
we jump into that, because one of the things that we talked about when we asked for the review code, and I think something that would be fun, is that for yourself and our good friend Noodle to sit down and do an episode of More the Players. Like, one of the first shows that... It would be one of the first and only episodes of For the Players in its entirety that I am not involved in. And to me, that's really exciting.
Yeah, so that's still happening. The original plan was we were going to record something this weekend.
But then they've added this little mode.
So what ended up happening was there was conflicting schedules, because we were going to essentially run the episode of More the Players whilst we play the campaign in its entirety in the background.
Yeah.
So it'll kind of be about an hour and a bit. Yeah, so yeah, we can knock it over in about an hour or two. Yeah, it's pretty quick now. Once we know, now that we know what we're doing,
because that's a cool idea. But I kind of love the idea of like the two of you just going, this is our 10 years with Destiny, and sort of talk about the highs, the lows, the things you love, the things you didn't, the moments where you thought you may lose it, the moments where you're like, no, this is fucking it, you know, when like, because it is essentially a reminiscing of a 10-year love affair with yourself and the game and between you and Noodle, because you know, but like,
that's the plan, yeah. And I might even record just the short 30-minute gameplay of this mission, because this mission's really, really cool.
Yeah, go ahead. It should be awesome. So, but you mentioned you've been playing something else?
Yeah, so thanks to Five Star Games, I've been playing Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance. So this released about a year ago on Switch. It was a Switch exclusive. This new version is essentially like a director's cut. It is now available everywhere.
Seeing as the Shin Megami Tensei games are the precursor to the Persona, would you consider these like their version of the Golden or Ruby? Was it Ruby? You know, like the fucking extra version of the base Persona games. Royal.
Yes. Yeah, kind of. Okay. So, because obviously Persona is the probably the more popular...
Oh, I mean, from a comparative, whether it's like, it's still the original game from X Men earlier in the year.
So essentially, it contains the whole base game, but they've added a bunch of quality of life updates. They've added extra, like, demonic allies to the game and an entire new storyline. So, which is dictated by your choice at the very start of the game. So you can do... what is it? It's called the new version is called the Canon of Vengeance.
Ooh.
Which is the story I apparently picked. I didn't realize at the time that was the new story and not the original. I'm playing through that. And the other one is the Tale of Creation.
Hot.
So nice. depending on the choices at the very start of the game, you'll be put on one of those two paths, and essentially your story will play out literally depending on the very first thing you pick in the game.
Well, that's good to know, because like from a two different story, like the last thing you want to do is have to play for 20 hours, then it goes, here is the divergence, where it's like, okay, it's immediate, you know what you're getting into. So have you played previous Shin Megami Tensei titles?
Played one of them.
Do you know which one?
The first.
Like, you've seen vague, like one of them.
I've played the first one. So Persona has always been my series. That's the one that kind of really I fell in love with here. The two games are very similar. They're obviously both the same style of game. The big difference is that the Shin Megami Tensei games tend to be much darker in their stories.
Like, Persona's pretty gnarly. Like, the first main mission is, like, he's a teacher that's inappropriate with some of the students.
Persona's pretty gnarly, but this is... Yeah.
When you say it's darker, like, do you mean in thematically, in character design, in overall art?
Kind of overall. Mm. So, with keeping to the comparisons, in Persona, when you have a party, when you have your party together, it's essentially all the school kids that you're in your party with, and they use their personas to use their special abilities.
Yes.
So they channel their persona, and they're like, hey, I can now use these abilities because the persona in me allows me to do so.
Yeah.
In this game, you yourself get infused with a demon, but your allies are other demons. So similar to Persona, where you can talk to the demons and get them to your side, and you get their mask to put on to use their persona.
Mm-hmm.
In this, you literally have their embodiment in your party, akin to like a Pokemon.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
So instead of seeing a human who would sometimes put on their mask and use the ability as the personification of the demon, you're literally using the demon itself in your party to do battle with.
Gnarly.
There are still human companions who use their personas, for lack of a better term, in this.
Because I was going to say, like, how does it work from a team dynamic? Because one of the, you know, I shit on Persona all the time, but I adore 5, and 4 is pretty fun too.
Yeah.
But one of the great parts about the game is seeing the dynamics of yourself and the two other players, two other characters of your team. Do you get to replicate that with these demons?
Yes, it works exactly the same. So in Persona, you have social links.
Yeah, that's the word I wanted, but I couldn't.
Where you grow your social links, and then the stronger the bond between the two characters, the stronger the character becomes. In this, they literally have demon hangouts, and you can go hang out with your fucking guys that you've captured and have chats, and you can give them gifts, and they'll give you gifts, and they'll, if they respect you more, they'll level up, and they become stronger and learn new skills. It plays out almost the exact same, except instead of hanging out with your buddies from school, you're hanging out with the demons you've coerced into fighting on your side.
That feels like extra manipulative and gross, though. It's like, yo, I know I've got you here to kill folk, but like, you want to hang out sometime? Like, you were just building Stockholm syndrome within these deeps, and that kind of rules.
Pretty much. So I'm about 3 hours.
Mute deep. In the chat sounds like a normal day in Japan. It checks out. I've never been. Max, you've been. Is it correct?
I've been. Yeah, just constantly.
There's demons everywhere.
Yes, demons everywhere.
And school kids.
I actually don't remember seeing a lot of school kids. But I had a very weird... because obviously I've got tattoos everywhere.
Yeah.
And because I love the cold weather, I never wore a jumper. I was always in a t-shirt. People would literally part and walk away from me because obviously there's that stigma of...
of tattoo folk, but also because you're a larger gentleman too, and you know, like most people are pretty effing thin. Because like I know, I can't remember, was it you that had a mate? Because they're like 6'7" or 6'8", and you know, there's a, I'm exaggerating, but they're like quite tall, and like they had a horrible time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were places that I could not go in because I had tattoos.
But like, it's the irony of it though is like, because if I was to go there, I've got the tattoo of a Japanese company. You're covered in Final Fantasy imagery, a very well known and respected Japanese product. But I guess yeah, it's a blanket rule, eh?
It was the hamburger.
It was the hamburger. Right? Gave it away. You know what it was? It was the Harry Potter one. Hate J.K. Rowling.
I actually have a feeling that I didn't have
it. No, you didn't have it then. I was just making a J.K. Rowling joke.
So yeah, I'm enjoying my time with this so far. Again, I'm very early in.
So what is the story from what you've played so far? Because you've highlighted that like the story's darker in tone, whatever, but like where is it? Where's the oomph?
So at the start, similar to like all the Persona games, you essentially have a run-in with a demonic entity. And I'm not far on. Well, to my understanding now, I'm either 20 years in the future from where I was, and I've somehow time traveled into this post-apocalyptic demonic hellscape, or something's gone amiss. So I'm not quite sure, because so far they've alluded it could be either. And essentially, my current objective is to get to Tokyo Tower to try and find why I'm here and what I'm doing, my guide, the demon who has possessed me to give me my powers, is basically like, hey man, just to let you know, there's a fucking huge demon there and you need to just chill out for a little bit and go gather some other dudes because you are not strong enough to go kill him. So currently I'm farming and like just filling out my demon decks to fuse all the demons together and make more powerful allies to not have my ass handed to me like I did last time. I'm like, I'm pretty good at these games. I can take this guy on. I'm like level 12. This will be fine. It's the first boss. How hard can it be? Guy's level 15, kicked my shit in one turn. I'm like, okay, very fucking hard.
Yeah, turns out the answer is quite difficult.
Because similar to Persona, the combat works the same way. So if you hit an enemy with a weakness, you get to have an extra turn. You add an extra turn to your rotation. So this guy just hit me with every weakness known to mankind, had like 12 turns in a row and just wrecked my day. I'm like, cool. Appreciated that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, asshole.
But some of the bonus features that they added was more accessible gameplay. So I believe there isn't like an easy mode option.
Mm-hmm.
They've made some improvements on the battle system. Like I said, they added new demonic experiences. There's a greater field for exploration. So far, it's been really, really fun. The game does this awesome thing. I don't recall them doing it in Persona, at least not to my knowledge. But if a character essentially doesn't matter and is just a background noise to fill in, they don't have faces.
Yeah.
They're just blank. They just it's very disturbing. You see, there's a bunch of blank faces walking around with glasses on. They've no eyes, no facial features whatsoever. And when you come across a character with facial features, like, you're important because they've put some effort into you. You've got some dialogue. You mean something to me or the story.
Yeah, so you seem like you should be of value.
Yeah. So at the moment, yeah, I'm kind of just exploring, leveling up, doing all that fun stuff to get out of what is essentially still the tutorial area for me.
Okay. Nice. Fantastic. But yeah, so you're still quite happy with it and digging it? Like, how long is the game though? They're known to be quite long though, yeah?
They're normally quite long, being big old JRPG games, but yeah.
Interesting. Well, because in terms of myself, like, I'm sort of in that, I don't know, same space as well. I have been spending a bit more time with The Elder Scrolls Online. I haven't played games as much this week as I thought I would. And I granted, because we recorded on Tuesday, the time between when we last recorded and when we are recording now, a bit minimal. Obviously, I haven't played much this weekend. I've had my boy, but I have played more in the DLC or the latest expansion, I should say, for The Elder Scrolls Online, Gold Road. It's a review code provided to us by the team over at Bethesda and Power Up PR. So I'm still playing, obviously, the main character that I've created, which is Magnus Waffle Stomper. So I've kind of in the first area, I've done a bit more. I'm level 10, I think, at the moment. And I'm kind of doing all the little extra stuff as well. So even though there's the main story path and I'm trying to hit it the best I can, I did stop and made sure I learned all the basic crafting abilities like blacksmithing, woodworking, clothes making, alchemy, enchanting, and provisioning. I'm like, that's probably going to be helpful later. So I'm going to tinker with those for a little bit. And I'm just kind of, I kind of like exploring the world. I know it's a really dangerous mentality to have in an MMO, Max, is the, I'm not going to leave this area until I've kind of done everything, because I'm pretty sure there is never you've done everything.
I mean, you'll eventually run out of side quests to do.
Yeah, but I get like,
there is a finite number of things in each zone.
Yeah.
From memory.
Yeah, there is. Because on the left-hand side of the screen, like there's like a bunch of checkboxes. Like there's 10 shrines and this many sky shards and blah, 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 blah. Mm. And like, that's cool and that's fun. And all right, cool, I might do that. But, you know, the first area was like really easy because it's kind of the tutorial island. Not the tutorial island in the you know, where you go and you do that. And then you kind of go to your first area. And it's intentionally built small. I'm like, man, I'm ripping through this. I've done everything. Gosh, let's go. And the next area is like much larger. I'm like, oh. And because I was kindly provided the pass that gave me everything, so all the expansions I've ever had, is, you know, some missions are like, go talk to the person at the boat. And the boat's like, where do you want to go? And it's like everywhere. I'm like, well, that's overwhelming. Because the last thing I want to do is then go somewhere and then go shit and go back to the place I wasn't and then shit and then I'm somewhere else again. Next thing you know, I'm lost in time and space. I'm like, where am I? How do I get back?
Which is what happened to me when I booted it up.
Yeah.
Because I made a character to play with you. I made an Argonian, so a lizard folk that I named Lizanardo da Vinci.
Fucking great name.
And I'm like, it's like, do you want to play the tutorial again? I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't.
Oh yeah, because if you don't play the tutorial, it just throws you in a world. Like, you don't get to pick.
It put me in a room full of portals.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
I went, which DLC do you want to play? I'm like, I don't know. Where's a good place to start?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem that I had, because like I had all of them.
Very promptly closed the game. Well, I have all of them, but the new one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know.
Mm.
I suffered from a little analysis paralysis. I went, I can't make this decision.
Well, let's have a look and see if we can organize you the Golden Road. Because I said I'm not that super far into it. So the Gold Road, you could catch up to me almost immediately. And I think it would be fun to sort of do some of it in tandem from a review standpoint. So let me have a look into that. I'll see if we can get you one, or we'll organize some dollary dues and get you just the base. But yeah. It's good. So I've not played as much as I said. Once again, we recorded Tuesday, so it's kind of not a whole lot of time. But one game that did come to me in between that time, however, was early access to a little game called Go-Go Town. So I played this at PAX last year, I think it was. Last year?
Mm.
Yeah, last year. So it's made by the team behind called Prideful Sloth. They have made a bunch of awesome stuff. They did Yonder, the Cloudcatcher Chronicles was the big one that most people kind of identify them for. So like Cloudcatcher, which was built around the idea of it is a fantasy RPG with no combat. And I dug it for that because it made it really fun and interesting. Go-Go Town is their version of Animal Crossing, essentially, with a little sprinkle of Stardew Valley feels, and that you get dropped into this town, and it's like, make this town thriving, and, you know, it's all about people coming to your town and seeing things and trying things, and, you know, that's how you accrue your money and your points that allow you to unlock more things. Excuse me. But then you also need to go and and mine to get supplies to build the things that you want. Go, you know, go to the forest and, you know, do some forestry. Go do some fishing and some farming, all to supplement the growth of your farm. And of course, putting my hands on it last year, I went, this is a Betson game. And when I got the email for the early access, I was like, are you? Yes, yes, yes. And it's dope. It's dope. So it's still early access. It's a little couple, it's a couple of days away from fully releasing. But like, I know it's early access for like creators and media folk. So, you know, have a look out who's doing stuff. I know our good friend of the show, Jerdman, I know he's playing it over on his streams, which is fantastic. I myself is enjoying it with myself, but like, made a little version of me. I go around on my little skateboard that I found. I do some mining. I get hire some people. They do this. I build a town. And when everyone comes into your town, those that can stay and live there, they kind of set you these little challenges. It's like, well, give me $100. Well, that was an easy one. Here's $100. Or, hey, can I, you know, if does the town have bins? And it's like, get 3 bins and you can suddenly, the town will be welcomed by these people. Or give me 6 streetlights or whatever it is, the merit, the numerics that they need. So it's kind of fun. So you kind of build them in, come in, level up, which then allows you to expand your shops, expand your resource management. And like, I'm digging it, clearly, because it's Betson as shit. Like, it looks adorable. Is once again no combat, so it plays really fun. It's super chill and cozy. A little feature that caught me off guard in a really good way: you can play the entire game with just your left hand. Not because I'm gonna like touch myself while I play it or anything, but like, you know, yeah, the mouse is there and the mouse is helpful, but you could just theoretically do it all with your left hand. And then, you know, maybe you need to place somewhere with like place a building or whatever. But even then, I'm pretty sure you can do it with the over this side as well. Yeah, because I was just sitting here like leaning back, just like building things. Going, yep. Yeah, oh, yeah, cool. I'll go pick that. You know, attack that tree. Go pick those go-nuts off that bush. Get myself some shrooms. Make little shrimpy skewers. You know, it's cool. I dig it. And like, if you want a fun little, like, I don't know how far the game that you can go with the game, because I myself have only put like, you know, a couple of hours in at most. So like, and so far there always seems to be the next like step or tier to progress to, and that, yeah. I'm digging that, because like, there's another one. So I do wonder like how many levels you can progress, or like, the map itself seems pretty large. A lot of the areas are relatively inaccessible. There's water which you can't travel over easily. But you know, there's room to expand, and there's cool little places where you might find some trinkets. So it does benefit you to explore. And it's just simple and fun, and the Prideful Sloth have really nailed it so far. And hopefully in the coming weeks, I will have, a final thoughts on it as I've ideally finished it. However, another game did come in my inbox yesterday. Haven't played it yet. I installed it. And, if we go back to a game that I'll lead to it. There was a game that we were playing on PC back in the day. I think it was when I first, it was before I got my new PC, and I threw myself into it like unreasonably. I'm like, this game rules. And then there was a sequel. I'm like, there's a sequel? So let's go. And the early access code came through yesterday. And it was like last night. So once again, I was just dealing with my son. And I'm like, as I was just drifting off to sleep, bing. I'm like, oh, do I sneak out and go install it? Like, no. He's the young girl. I'll have with my boy. But yes, yeah, so I'll have more to say about that soon, which is exciting. I'm very keen to see what I can do with that game. But let me see. Let me just write down the notes on that one. Go town. Max, let's get in the section of Coin Inform the Players. We tell people what happened this week in PlayStation.
Let's kick things off, as we always do, with some PlayStation news. There's not much this week. Here are the games coming to Extra and Premium in tomorrow, I think. So tomorrow of time recording today, if you're...
Tomorrow, it would be Tuesday, so it's likely the 18th.
Yeah. So we have coming to you extra Monster Hunter Rise on PS4, PS5.
Is that the one that was on Switch?
Yes.
Nice.
Football Manager 24, PS5. Crusader Kings 3, PS5. Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game, number 6, PS5, PS4. After Us, PS5. Anno 1800, PS5. Police Simulator, Patrol Officers, PS5,
oh, man.
PS4.
This has been on my wish list for so long. I remember putting a key request in it on Keymail, and they never got back to me. I was like, that real sour about it. But I want to play it. Like, a good friends of the show over at the DualSense Pod, the now closed DualSense Pod, miss it dearly. He loves it. He reviewed it for Gaming Nexus. I want to play it so dumb, so goddamn bad. And I'm glad it's like coming this month, Brent.
A Far Cry 4, PS4, nice. Lego The Hobbit, PS4, and Lego The Incredibles, PS4.
Do you reckon, because you know, said you're trying to get Hadley to play games that aren't Paw Patrol. Hadley's your daughter.
Yeah,
his daughter, by the way. Would Lego The Incredibles get there?
Maybe. I bought Lego Harry Potter the collection, years 1 through 7. She's like, too scary, Dad. Like, so maybe we'll play The Hobbit.
Yeah, oh, no. There are some big things in The Hobbit.
And next up are your premium titles coming to the service. We have Kayak VR Mirage.
So I remember seeing this one. Yeah, Miragi. And it was honest. I'm like, it looked beautiful because it's relatively simple game, right? You're in a kayak and you got to do kayaky things, and it's all about scenic environments. I think there's one where you can, like, you know, kayak under Aurora Borealis at this time of the year.
Rowing simulator. You know.
What was that? It is rowing simulator. So that's probably why it tickles my fancy, but I do like that we're getting little sprinkles of VR titles now that they've officially decided to say, fuck PSVR 2. It's coming up. You're getting your PC dongle. We don't care anymore. We don't support it. Here's fucking games again. They did it when PSVR was slowly dying. They're like, yeah, here's free games as part of PS Plus. Have fun.
Next up, we have Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy.
That
might
be too scary for Hadley. There's a lot in there, like Chewbacca's and stuff.
A Ghost Hunter, PS2. And Daxter for PSP.
Now, I talk some smack throughout there. Is there anything that gets you tickled in the front area?
Crusader Kings 3 is great. It's a nice alternative to like Civilization. It's kind of one of those political intrigue games where you essentially just rule the country and then keep having offspring that will rule the country after you and so on and so forth. It's cool that it's coming across. It's been on Games Pass for the longest time, so it's nice to see it come over here as well. Other than that, Far Cry 4 is great.
Yeah, it's one of the ones I've spent the least amount of time with. Like, I played a lot of 3, played a good, almost finished
Primal. 5. Primal's my least played.
Actually, no, I've never played Primal, and I do have it. It's Josh's copy. I borrowed it like many years ago, and I forgot, and it's still on my shelf. But yeah, I've never played Primal, I guess. It's probably the other one. But Max, we're talking about like playing games with your children and all that sort of nonsense. So in the firmware and updates section, which is quite reasonable and often, child accounts on your PlayStation can now link and add third-party services and apps to their account for the PlayStation Network to enjoy benefits and features that enhance their gameplay experience. Younger players that use child accounts on PS5 can link accounts to features like Discord voice chat, music streaming services like Apple Music and Spotify, or broadcasting and sharing gameplay via YouTube and Twitch. I believe this also allows for like Netflix and Stan and other subscription apps. New parental controls are available for both parents and guardians, and these controls notify and allow them to manage their child's account with third-party services and apps. Availability may vary depending on age, parental control settings, and country and region. So you can now we'll get to that a little bit later. And we've also updated, it's also updated the device software for the Pulse Elite headset, Pulse Explore earbuds, and the PlayStation Link USB adapter. So the PlayStation Link connection stability has been improved. They've also fixed the issue with the Pulse Elite wireless headset that caused the power to turn off when the audio cable is connected to the audio input jack. That's weird. Also on the Pulse Elite wireless headset, the status indicator that turns on after establishing PlayStation Link connection is now less bright because it's like if it's here, it's just blasting in the side of your face. I remember there was the Razer... what was the controller?
The Raiju,
and like it had a little light under, like the light bar under the touchpad. But unlike the PlayStation controller, it was like not too gnarly. This, I had to put fucking tape over it because if you thought about playing it in the night, it was like the sun flares just directly in your lower eye hole. It was gnarly and really poo. But I'm, you know, I don't use that controller in a while. Also, of course. Improved system software performance and stability, and they've also improved the messages and usability on some screens. Max, we haven't put it as a bigger news story.
It's really not a really big news story.
So therefore, I will back end it here.
Okay.
You can now start or join a Discord voice chat directly from your PS5. You can open Game Base in the control center and select the Discord tab to access your servers and direct calls. Max, before we jump into the Discord stuff, do you use a child account with your kid?
No, she just plays online.
Yeah. So like my son has my old PS4 in his place.
I mean, to be fair, she also doesn't play a lot of PlayStation games. She's playing Paw Patrol on my PC.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I don't really use child accounts. It's not necessary.
So thankfully between myself and his mum, we keep an eye on what he plays, my son, and so he also knows that there are some games that are for him and some games that are not. So he's very lucky in the years of which we've been doing this and games coverage in general, we have a backlist of so many games. Yeah. So he can play almost anything he wants if he asks for it and it's around. So he doesn't tend to push his luck because he knows that if he asks, it'll probably be available.
Mm.
So he's not be like, can I play Resident Evil? I'm like, no. You know, he's like, what about this game? I'm like, yeah, I have that game. Here you go. Oh, yeah, I have that one. Here, check this one out. You know, so it's not... I find that, like, if it was super restrictive, he'd be more inclined to, like, sneak behind and, like, break the rules. But he's like, oh, well, Dad said that's not for me, but I have these games instead. Which is nice. It's like, it's a good... That's until he, like, now, when he's, you know, older, he might just be a right prick about it. But at the moment, he's thankfully respectful enough to be like, no, what Dad said goes.
Mm.
But Dad, the Discord...
Dad said no to Resident Evil, but killing some strippers in GTA.
Actually, no, there is no GTA. We do have no GTA. Remember, we have no Fortnite rule, too. Or Roblox.
No Roblox in my house is a big one. My daughter watches a lot of YouTube videos with Roblox. She's like, can I play? I'm like, no.
Yeah, same as my son.
Not at all.
Yeah, and he very quickly went, oh, okay. Because I was like, well, do you want to play Hello Neighbor? Do you want to play Goose Game? Do you want to play God? If I can play God of War for all I care. God of War is lovely. It's incredible. Because like he wanted to play it the other day just because he knows I love it so much. So he might not get it, but for him, he can go, hey, Daddy, I've been playing God of War. And he gets all full of himself and proud. You know, oh, it's awesome. Because you'll ask me, be like, oh, I'm stuck. What do I do? I'm like, I haven't played that game since 2018. Like, you're playing Ragnarok? I can talk about Ragnarok because that's semi-recent. But yeah, but Discord.
I've just gotten so used to just because obviously where I play my PlayStation.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm looking at this screen here, which is my screens here and here are for PC. My screen just here is for the PlayStation. So clicking to do my Discord over here is really not that big of a deal. Mm. I've kind of gotten used to it. I was outraged to begin with.
So have you and your team of individuals, the group of sweats, have you all transitioned to Discord?
No, it depends on what we're playing.
I was going to say, because like that chat's been pretty quiet for a while. I know people have... No, I was curious on like, would you make the transition now?
None of us really play games together anymore. So like, obviously, Zill and I play Diablo together. We use Discord. Because I'm playing on PC, but he's playing on PlayStation, so we use Discord chat, so we can both chat with each other. Mm-hmm. The three boys are playing Sea of Thieves, so they play in a PlayStation chat, because they're all playing on PlayStation. If I join them, I do the courteous thing and join the PlayStation chat and just run an aux cable from my PC to my headset so I can get PC sound, but audio from PlayStation. I just join the chat. Very rarely do we kind of use both.
Because it's interesting, because out of all the things in all the years that you and I have done this show together, the one that kind of annoyed you the most was this not being your thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, the whole thing was like, how hard is it to, like, how hard was it to do it? Because the other issue was Xbox could do it to begin with, yet PlayStation paid a bunch of money to Discord to help them develop stuff for PlayStation. And they're like, hey, you gotta Nintendo it up and use a phone app, buddy. So why? Just integrate it properly to begin with. But, I mean, it wasn't that bad. I got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's like, oh, cool. What they should have done at launch.
Voice quality is far superior in the Discord chat than it is on PlayStation chat.
But
I'm glad that it's finally here.
That's good. That's good. Now, for yourself, obviously we know that you are quite a large Final Fantasy fan. One of the ones that got the rounds a lot, I remember this being, I think it was part of the Nvidia leaks back in the day.
It was part of the Nvidia leak.
And I know that didn't narrow it down. Actually, it'd be really fun going to check out that Nvidia leak now and seeing how much of it is good.
It has now resurfaced in the recent Epic Game Store leak.
Oh, and we're talking about Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, much like the Steam database, there apparently is an Epic database.
Ooh,
and a whole bunch of stuff came out from it. So we've been hearing about the Final Fantasy IX remake for quite some time. We've all been wondering, is it actually going to happen? It's been getting harder and harder to ignore all the evidence, with the latest leak all but confirming the project exists in some capacity. In the recent launch of Epic Database, a website that tracks the inner workings of the Epic Game Store, similar to Steam Database, has unleashed a tidal wave of fresh leaks. Buried within a long list of registered software is something called Momo, a code name for the Final Fantasy IX remake. How do we know? Well, it's registered under Square Enix. It's tied to a whole bunch of additional listings, such as the Thieves' Knives pre-order DLC, and more importantly, the Tetra Master Starter Pack DLC, Tetra Master being the card minigame from Final Fantasy IX. It is important to note that many of these Epic listings date back to 2023, and so they may no longer be accurate to the eventual release. Still, it feels like we're just waiting for Square Enix to make an official announcement at this point. Clearly, there's something happening. Going by the sheer number of software registrations, it's entirely possible that a reveal is coming sooner than we think. Although, according to Bloomberg's Jason Schreier, who popped up on the Gaming Leaks and Rumors subreddit to inspire hope, he just left one thing. He said, "Hi, the Final Fantasy Tactics remaster is real and happening."
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Schreier.
So I just pulled, I couldn't remember which one Final Fantasy IX was. So I did pull up an image, and it's the dude with the blue jacket and the brown wizard's hat. Is he in many of them, or is he just that one?
He is just in none.
Because I remember him. Everyone else, I have no effing idea what's going on.
He's kind of the stereotypical black mage sprite from every other game, though.
Yeah, okay, that's probably where.
Like, I think that's the iconic black mage sprite brought into 3D space.
Yeah, okay. His name is Vivi Ornantia. Yeah. Dumb name. Yeah. But for yourself, Max, because we know a good friend of the show, Paul James, big fan of Final Fantasy IX, the best one yet.
Final Fantasy IX is not my favorite. It is up there, but it's not my favorite.
Do you think out of all of the Final Fantasies that have ever existed, this is the one that's best to be the second remake? I thought 8 was fun. Like, I remember playing the demo for 8, and I quite liked its imagery.
Eight was fun, but was very flawed in its junctioning system, and very flawed in the fact that it disincentivized you from farming and leveling up. Because
isn't it all the world scaled with you or something?
The world scales with you. So if you get to level 100, which is the level cap, the bosses become almost unkillable.
Okay. Oh, because
they have such high HP limits because they've leveled up with you. So you're incentivized to only do mandatory battles that you can't escape from, because it's just easier to get through the game when the end game boss is level 20 when you're level 20.
That's bizarre. That's so weird.
Look, 9 is popular. It's not my
favorite. So what's 9's gimmick? If 8 was that, what's 9's?
9 kind of went back to the job system, where to learn skills you had to use different equipment and master the skill before you could swap your equipment out and use the next piece of gear to get the next better thing, which is fine. But yeah, it wasn't for me. I would love to see Final Fantasy X redone. I would love to see them.
Well, 10 got ported to PS4, so you could technically still play it. So from a need for a remake, not so much. Where 9 is a PS1 title.
But they also got all those fancy remasters on PS4. They got the upgraded version with the inbuilt cheat where you could have no encounters.
But yeah, going from fidelity of those remasters to the remake space,
yeah,
not as much needed as say like 9 or 8. Or
I would prefer to see Final Fantasy 6 redone over 9. But what's 6's gimmick? 6 had the Magitek armor. One arguably the best villain of any Final Fantasy series.
Interesting. I know people have lots of hard-ons for what's his face, big sword bloke from 7.
Sephiroth.
Yeah, that guy.
So yeah,
big sword bloke. What the fuck? One of the most iconic Final Fantasy characters ever. I'm like, I don't know, the dude with the sword, which also didn't narrow it down, by the way.
So yeah, I mean, it's cool that it is happening. I mean, Shry is a pretty reliable source of information.
Oh, well, let's get into... What was it, sorry?
No, Padge will be happy.
Oh, absolutely. So let's get into them quick bits. Astrobot has over 150 PlayStation character cameos.
I didn't even realize it was 150 PlayStation characters.
Oh, I guess that's the thing I'm curious about. Like, I want to know, like, is there a quiz? Like, I want to see how I go. I reckon I could get, like, 110?
Like, how many of them are double ups? Are we getting old Kratos, new Kratos?
Ooh, good catch. Are we getting, like, a fat Astrobot to look like Thor from Ragnarok? That would be beautiful. It's a little rotund dude.
We get like Crash Bandicoot, Fate Crash.
Speaking of your Fat Princess, Fat Princess was in Rescue Mission, so it's very possible. Yeah. How many do you could get out of the 150? How many do you reckon you could guess?
I don't know. We'll have to see, I guess.
Well, no, I want to lay a guess now, because I'm going to say 110, and I assure you, when the time comes, I'm going to get like fucking 60.
I think I could probably get about half.
Yeah. It'd be a fun little game. Because I can assure you that someone like Push Square would have taken a shot of every one 150 and be like, that make a quiz. I think that'd be a ton of fun. And if they don't, I'm not going to do it. I'm too lazy. But like maybe, you know, hey, Patch, play it too. You know, like someone do it and make the first quiz, because that would be super fun. Astrobot will also be getting free post-launch DLC. More characters. The test gets harder. Elden Ring hits 25 million collective sales ahead of its Erdtree's revival, which is this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Only 35% of PlayStation Elden Ring players have progressed far enough in the game to start the DLC. Now, as you mentioned, you do need to, in a previous week, you have to go past which boss?
It's Mog.
How deep in the game is this?
Like the first third.
Okay. Well, I, as someone that didn't get past the first like fucking horse guy who just kicked my dick in unreasonably and I quit, no chance. No chance at all. And finally, this news made my son very, very happy. Marvel's Spider-Man 2 will be getting a free update with 8 new suits on Tuesday, the 18th of June. A couple of them are old suits from Final Fantasy, apparently, says my brain. Spider-Man 1, and a couple of new ones sprinkled in there as well.
All right, coming soon. On the 18th of June, we have hashtag Blood coming to PS4.
Is that its name? Hashtag Blood. BLUD. Yeah. Their name is Ballbags.
Still Wakes the Deep coming to PS5. On the 19th of June, we have Glyphs of Gitzan coming to PS5, PS4. On the 20th of June, we have Ever After Falls, PS5, PS4. Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation Quest of Memories, PS5, PS4.
That is one of the most Japanese names I've ever heard. And most of it was coherent, which is also bizarre.
And Rusted Moss coming to PS5.
That is the Mad Max-inspired prequel, very Furiosa, of Moss from the VR games. Spoilers, it's also not any of those things.
On the 21st of June, we have Elden Ring Shadows of the Erdtree and Times and Galaxy.
Yeah, I know what yours is.
Yeah. It's Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation Memory. You brought up Furiosa.
Oh, I did.
I am following I listened to a movie review podcast called The Film Cast.
Yep. Oh, great name. I'm very perplexed on why it took you so long to remember that.
And they do a thing every year called the Summer Movie Wager, where they get an extra person in, and they guess which are going to be the top 10 best-selling box office movies domestic to the US. So they have a running website on what the numbers are currently, and I'm really upset that Bad Boys Ride or Die is doing significantly better than Furiosa.
Yep. Well, because one of those things where I was having a discussion, funny enough, in the car when we're driving around today with my partner. We're discussing around how the box office experience, the movie experience, is no longer a thing, right? So there's unreasonable the unreasonable expectation of what it should be delivering, and then everyone goes, "Oh, it'll be out in streaming in 3 weeks anyway." So fuck, who cares? So unless it's something like Barbie and Oppenheimer, you know, we get Barbenheimer or like some really good reason to go to the cinema, but. Because they've been making more generic and bland big fucking blockbusters, I don't know, why don't I go to see that? And like something like Furiosa, which is, you know, looks to be objectively a really good film. I love Fury Road. Everyone's all like, and once again, off the backlash of Marvel and Ghostbusters and Star Wars and all this quote unquote woke shit in movies, everyone was like, what? It's Mad Max. There's no Mad Max. Spoilers. If any of you saw fucking Mad Max Fury Road, Mad Max was not the main character in that movie. It was Furiosa the whole time.
They're aware that this is a prequel to Fury Road, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, they're all idiots. So that's why I didn't get it.
You pointed out is that the fact that we used to have to wait 3 to 6 months to watch these bastards
minimum
movies. Now it's 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm with the Mullet Show. I definitely want to see Deadpool Wolverine.
Because I want that collective laugh out loud experience.
I just want a popcorn bucket where I can face fuck Wolverine.
Oh, I want to face fuck Wolverine. So good. I'm gonna get like knuckle deep, wrist deep in that mouth. I'm hoping the cinemas near us have it. By the way,
they should.
I want a Hugh Jack light. You know what I mean? Like I'm Hugh Jack off. That would have been better. Damn it. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us for this week. We do appreciate everyone that does take the time to check out this show. Time is precious, and for some reason you spend it with us. Oh, why? Max?
Why not? What else have you got to do on a Sunday night?
It's a very good point. Or whatever time you listen to us, like, you know, if you're at work, or you're driving, or you're at the gym, or you're pooping, or you're cooking dinner, or other various tasks that we do in our world, in our lives that are supported by podcasts. For me, it's pretty much everything. I listen to podcasts all the time. It makes me so calm and chill, and like it just really puts me at ease. It's like stimming for my ear holes. It's brilliant.
Ear hole stimming.
it was like when I said it, I was like, ugh. And then you said it, I'm like, ugh, someone else said it. That's real fucked up. Ugh. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com /shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
Nice.
For the Players.